And I hope I have with me on the phone Rabbi Galperin.
Good morning, Ilan.
Good morning, Rabbi. How are you?
Baruch Hashem. Thank God. And how are you?
I'm doing fine, and I hear you loud and clear.
Thank God. That's wonderful right. Things.
Yeah, yeah. The wonders of technology.
Beautiful. Look, it's brought down. It says, you know, like, we can use technology for, you know, for things that shouldn't be done, but then we can use technology to spread Jewish music, to spread the words of Torah. The best thing that's why technology was created.
Yeah.
So, anyway, this week's Torah portion is Parshat Vayakel. And we see in this week's Torah portion that Moses assembles the people of Israel and reiterates to them the commandment to observe the Shabbat. And then he conveys God's instructions, which was talked about the last past couple of weeks, regarding the making of the Mishkan, the tabernacle.
Yep.
And the people are to donate the required materials, whatever they need, gold, silver, copper, blue, purple, red dye, wool, goat hair, spun linen, animal skins, wood, olive oil, I believe, and precious stones. And then, interestingly enough, we see, which I don't see that much today, but Moses has to tell them, stop giving! We have enough! We don't need any more! Wouldn't that be nice for us people that in the community rely on people, give to Daka donations, and they say, we don't need any more! Enough! That would be a nice thing.
Yep.
But yes, by Moses, he told them, stop, we don't need any more. And then obviously he goes into talking more exactly how the tabernacle is supposed to be made, and then talking about the showbread and the menorah and the burnt offerings and the courtyard and the mirrors, so on and so forth. Now, we see that in the past Torah portions, we see how Moses is instructed to make the tabernacle and all of the vessels. And Moses is also told the various materials that we just talked about that is necessary for the construction. Now, in this week's Torah portion, Moses has a meeting with the Jews, the Klal Yisrael, and he makes them, each one of them, he gives them the privilege in building the Mishkan, and with the instructions that he received in the previous portions from God.
Very detailed instructions.
Oh, yeah, very detailed. Now, the uniqueness of the Jewish people, if we think about it, what makes us unique is its Torah. God selected us from among all the nations of the world, and he gave us the Torah exclusively. We were the ones that he said, "Nas seven Ishma, we'll do and we'll hear."
Yeah.
Now, the Aron, the Ark, which houses the tablets on which were written the Ten Commandments, was the central and most prominent feature of the Holy Temple. And it's written in the Gemara, in the Talmud, and it's explained that when the Torah states that Aaron, Moses' brother, they were both instructed to make the Aaron, the Ark, it's explained that what that to make it out of acacia wood, and it was covered with pure gold from within and without, which means there were three receptacles that were made. The primary one, the middle one, was made out of acacia wood. The second, larger box was made out of gold, in which the wooden box was placed. And then a smaller one, a third one, was made out of gold, which was put inside the wooden one. So if you think about it, you had gold, wood, gold. Now, considering that the Aron, the Ark, contained the Jewish people's most sacred treasure, obviously, it's therefore most fitting that it should be made from gold, the most precious metal then, and even the highest valued even today.
Yeah.
Now, since gold represents the highest concept of value, it's associated with everything we hold most precious. And we can understand why we would use the gold to be able to make the Ark. But why the use of the wood in the construction of the Ark? If you think about wood, is of no particular value. And if wood is a fitting tribute to our most valued and cherished Torah, how? Because we say that the most valued, cherished aspect that we have is the Torah. Should be covered in gold. All three levels, the layers, should be gold. Why is it gold, wood, gold? Obviously, there must be some explanation, something that is unique to this, which when I was reading this week's Torah portion, I said, wow, this is really, really amazing. We have to really understand these substances, gold, wood, what they really mean. Because each one of them has their own quality, and these two qualities coming together are relevant to the Torah. Because let's look, gold is durable and strong. And if you think about it, gold is a rare exception. You know, it's durable, it's strong, it resists time and decay, and therefore, it is proper that the ark be housed, the Torah of Hashem, should be made of gold to symbolize the enduring worth of the Torah and the internal values that it has to us. Now, gold, on the one hand, also has a chisaron, a drawback.
Yeah.
It's lifeless. Wood has the ma'ala, the advantage that it comes from a living thing. It grows. It has roots. It produces. It could produce fruit. Therefore, the Torah is compared not only to gold, but also to a tree.
A combination of both of them.
Exactly. It's a tree of life to those who grasp it. What gold lacks is provided by the wood. And what wood lacks is provided by gold. The durability of gold and the vibrancy and the life of the wood came together in the ark. Eternity and life were forever to be the symbols of Torah. Therefore, if we think about it, the ark and the Torah within it are our most precious possessions, symbols of eternal value. But eternity alone is not enough. Every generation that lives must contribute its share to imbue new life to the Torah, to make our traditions grow and expand. Each person individually goes from strength to strength in his study of Torah and the observance of the mitzvot. We cannot just rest on something that's going to be eternal. There has to be a life with it as well. And as we know, the Torah is the tree of life, which holds on everything that we go through spiritually and physically. And therefore, the ark, the highest level of the Beit HaMikdash, the Holy Temple, had to be made from gold and wood to show us this lesson, that just to be eternal and strong in everything, that's nothing. You need to also have the life force, the life of growing, the life of adding to what we are. And by doing that, you have that combination, then we will have a long, eternal life. And that's why it was so detailed in so many different portions. And now finally in this portion, Moses is telling the Jews what has to be done, but it's so detailed in how the Holy Temple, the Beit HaMikdash, was, and every single vessel and every single part of that structure had to be so detailed.
And all the dimensions too.
Exactly. Good point. Absolutely.
The exact dimensions.
Exactly. So a person might think, what's the big deal? Gold, wood, who cares? There's a lesson from that. And I think that's a very important thing in our lives. We think, oh, we could always be eternal, and everything's going to be good. But what are we going to do to grow in our life? What are we going to do to add the life force? And we need to have that, plus the eternal, then we'll forever have an eternal life. And that's the message that I think that we can learn from this week's Torah portion.
That's a beautiful one.
Well, you know, when you're thinking about all these things, you know, when I learn the parsha on every week, and I think, you know, I said, the Torah could just, it's a beautiful story, it's a beautiful philosophy, everything is beautiful. But how do I imply, how do I take it to my life? How do I take a message from it? And you try and you look, and there's every year you learn the same thing every year, but every year you learn different new messages every single year. It's amazing.
Yeah.
So, Baruch Hashem.
And Rabbi, new events in the community.
We have, a couple. We have a new program that was started, Kids in the Kitchen, where kids 3 and up join together to be able to learn about a holiday or to learn about an event hands-on. So like this year, for example, this week, I'm sorry, on Sunday, we're going to be having a Kids in the Kitchen, a Hamantash bake, where the kids will learn about Purim, do a craft, and also make the dough and bake and fill with a lot of different fillings their own hamantaschen to take home.
That's great.
So that's going to be held at Chabad at my house, 1420 Victoria. And then we have Purim, which is coming up in less than a month, March 24th, at the Jewish Community Center in the gym. It's going to be Purim Fiesta. Purim in Mexico is the theme of this year.
Okay.
We're going to have a spectacular entertainer, a bubble show for all the kids. We're going to have adults too, because they make 6, 8, 10 feet bubbles high. I don't. It's really, really cool. We're going to have piñatas, Mexican style food, music, decorations. Everyone should come dressed up in costumes, Mexican or anything they want to dress up. It doesn't make a difference what. There'll be kids, prizes for all the kids. So that's at 4:30 Megillah, and 5 o'clock starts the dinner and party. So if anyone's planning on coming, which we always get a very big crowd, you need to RSVP.
Yeah, so, and we will remind it. We'll remind the listeners
weekly.
Again.
Yes,
and prepare your sombreros.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a lot of fun this month. So we look forward to a very festive Purim.
That's great, Rabbi. I want to wish you Shabbat Shalom.
You too, and I look forward to talking next week.
God willing.
Okay, be well.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.